Chapter 22. A Common Thief. Schomburg bit his tongue just too late, and woke up completely as he saw Ricardo retract his lips in a cat-like grin. But the companion of Lane Mr. Jones didn't alter his comfortable, gossiping attitude. Garn. What if he did want to see his money back, like any tame shopkeeper, hash seller, gin slinger, or ink spewer does? Fancy a mud turtle like you trying to pass an opinion on a gentleman. A gentleman isn't to be sized up so easily. Even I ain't up to it sometimes. For instance, that night, all he did was to waggle his finger at me. The skipper stops his silly chatter, surprised. Eh? What's the matter? Apostrophe asks he. The matter? It was his reprieve, that's what was the matter. Oh, nothing, nothing, apostrophe says my gentleman. You are perfectly right. A log nothing but a log. Apostrophe, ha, ha. Reprieve, I call it, because if the skipper had gone on with his silly argument much longer he would have had to be knocked out of the way. I could hardly hold myself in on account of the precious minutes. However, his guardian angel put it into his head to shut up and go back to his bed. I was ramping mad about the lost time. Why didn't you let me give him one on his silly coconut, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I asks. No ferocity, no ferocity, apostrophe, he says, raising his finger at me as calm as you please. You can't tell how a gentleman takes that sort of thing. They don't lose their temper. It's bad form. You will never see him lose his temper, not for anybody to see anyhow. Ferocity ain't good form, either, that much I've learned by this time, and more too. I've had that schooling, that you couldn't tell by my face, if I meant to rip you up the next minute, as of course I could do in less than a jiffy. I have a knife up the leg of my trousers. You haven't? Exclaimed Schomburg incredulously. Mr. Ricardo was as quick as lightning in changing his lounging, idle attitude for a stooping position, and exhibiting the weapon with one jerk at the left leg of his trousers. Schomburg had just a view of it, strapped to a very hairy limb, when Mr. Ricardo, jumping up, stamped his foot to get the trouser leg down, and resumed his careless pose with one elbow on the table. It's a more handy way to carry a tool than you would think, he went on, gazing abstractedly into Schomburg's wide-open eyes. Suppose some little difference comes up during a game. Well, you stoop to pick up a dropped card, and when you come up there you are ready to strike, or with the thing up your sleeve ready to throw. Or you just dodge under the table when there's some shooting coming. You wouldn't believe the damage a fellow with a knife under the table can do to ill-conditioned skunks that want to raise trouble before they begin to understand what the screaming's about, and make a bolt those that can, that is. The roses of Schomburg's cheek at the root of his chestnut beard faded perceptibly. Ricardo chuckled faintly. But no ferocity, no ferocity. A gentleman knows. What's the good of getting yourself into a state? And no shirking necessity either. No gentleman ever shirks. What I learn I don't forget. Why? We gambled on the plains, with a damn lot of cattlemen in ranches. Played fair, mind, and then had to fight for our winnings afterwards as often as not. We've gambled on the hills and in the valleys, and on the seashore, and out of sight of land mostly fair. Generally it's good enough. We began in Nicaragua first, after we left that schooner and her fool errand. There were 127 sovereigns, and some Mexican dollars in that skipper's cash box. Hardly enough to knock a man on the head for from behind, I must confess, but that the skipper had a narrow escape the governor himself could not deny afterwards. Do you want me to understand, sir, that you mind there being one life more or less on this earth? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I asked him, a few hours after we got away. Certainly not, apostrophe, says he. Well then, why did you stop me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, there's a proper way of doing things. You'll have to learn to be correct. There's also unnecessary exertion. That must be avoided, Two if only for the look of the thing. Apostrophe apostrophe a gentleman's way of putting things to you and no mistake. At sunrise we got into a creek, to lie hidden in case the treasure hunt party had a mind, to take a spell hunting for us. And dash me if they didn't. We saw the schooner way out, running to leeward, with 10 pairs of binoculars sweeping the sea, no doubt on all sides. I advised the governor to give her time to beat back again, before we made a start. So we stayed up that creek something like 10 days, as snug as can be. On the 7th day we had to kill a man, though the brother of this Pedro here. They were alligator hunters, right enough. We got our lodgings in their hut. Neither the boss nor I could habla Espanol speak Spanish, you know much then. Dry bank, nice shade, jolly hammocks, fresh fish, good game, everything lovely. The governor chucked them a few dollars to begin with, but it was like boarding with a pair of savage apes, anyhow. By and by we noticed them talking a lot together. They had twigged the cash box, and the leather portmanteaus, and my bag a jolly lot of plunder to look at. They must have been saying to each other, no one's ever likely to come looking for these two fellows, who seem to have fallen from the moon. Let's cut their throats. Apostrophe, why, of course. Clear as daylight. I didn't need to spy one of them sharpening a devilish long knife behind some bushes, while glancing right and left with his wild eyes, to know what was in the wind. Pedro was standing by, trying the edge of another long knife. They thought we were away on our lookout at the mouth of the river, as was usual with us during the day. Not that we expected to see much of the schooner, but it was just as well to make certain, if possible. And then it was cooler out of the woods, in the breeze. Well, the governor was there right enough, lying comfortable on the rug, where he could watch the offing, but I had gone back to the hut, to get a chew of tobacco out of my bag. I had not broken myself of the habit then, and I couldn't be happy, unless I had a lump as big as a baby's fist in my cheek. At the cannibalistic comparison, Schomburg muttered a faint, sickly don't. Ricardo hitched himself up in his seat, and glanced down his outstretched legs complacently. I am tolerably light on my feet, as a general thing, he went on. Dash me if I don't think I could drop a pinch of salt on the sparrow's tail, if I tried. Anyhow, they didn't hear me. I watched them two brown, hairy brutes not 10 yards off. All they had on was white linen drawers rolled up on their thighs. Not a word they said to each other. Antonio was down on his thick hams, busy rubbing a knife on a flat stone. Pedro was leaning against a small tree, and passing his thumb along the edge of his blade. I got away quieter than a mouse, you bet. I didn't say anything to the boss then. He was leaning on his elbow on his rug, and didn't seem to want to be spoken to. He's like that sometimes, that familiar you might think he would eat out of your hand, and at others he would snub you sharper than a devil but always quiet. Perfect gentleman, I tell you. I didn't bother him then, but I wasn't likely to forget them two fellows, so businesslike with their knives. At that time we had only one revolver between us two, the governor's 6-shooter, but loaded only in 5 chambers, and we had no more cartridges. He had left the box behind in a drawer in his cabin. Awkward. I had nothing but an old clasp knife, no good at all for anything serious. In the evening we four sat round a bit of fire outside the sleeping shed, eating broiled fish off plantain leaves, with roast yams for bread the usual thing. The governor and I were on one side, and these two beauties cross-legged on the other, grunting a word or two to each other, now and then, hardly human speech at all, and their eyes down, fast on the ground. For the last 3 days we couldn't get them to look us in the face. Presently I began to talk to the boss quietly, just as I am talking to you now, careless-like, and I told him all I had observed. He goes on picking up pieces of fish and putting them into his mouth as calm as anything. It's a pleasure to have anything to do with a gentleman. Never looked across at them once. And now, apostrophe says I, yawning on purpose, we've got to stand watch at night, turn about, and keep our eyes skinned all day too, and mind we don't get jumped upon suddenly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's perfectly intolerable, apostrophe says the governor. And you with no weapon of any sort. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I mean to stick pretty close to you, sir, from this on, if you don't mind. Apostrophe says I, he just nods the least bit, wipes his fingers on the plantain leaf, puts his hand behind his back, as if to help himself to rise from the ground, snatches his revolver from under his jacket, and plugs a bullet plumb center into Mr. Antonio's chest. See what it is to have to do with a gentleman. No confounded fuss, and things done out of hand. But he might have tipped me a wink or something. I nearly jumped out of my skin. Scared ain't in it. I didn't even know who had fired. Everything had been so still just before, that the bang of the shot seemed the loudest noise I had ever heard. The Honorable Antonio pitches forward, they always do, towards the shot. You must have noticed that yourself, yes. He pitches forward onto the embers, and all that lot of hair on his face, and head flashes up like a pinch of gunpowder. Greasy, I expect. Always scraping the fat off them alligators' hides. Look here, exclaimed Schomburg violently, as if trying to burst some invisible bonds. Do you mean to say that all this happened? No, said Ricardo coolly. I'm making it all up as I go along, just to help you through the hottest part of the afternoon. So down he pitches his nose on the red embers, and up jumps our handsome Pedro and I at the same time, like two jacks in the box. He starts to bolt away, with his head over his shoulder, and I, hardly knowing what I was doing, spring on his back. I had the sense to get my hands round his neck at once, and it's about all I could do to lock my fingers tight under his jaw. You saw the beauty's neck, didn't you? Hard as iron too. Down we both went. Seeing this, the governor puts his revolver in his pocket. Tie his legs together, sir, apostrophe I yell. I'm trying to strangle him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, there was a lot of their fiber lines lying about. I gave him a last squeeze, and then got up. I might have shot you, apostrophe says the governor, quite concerned. But you are glad to have saved a cartridge, sir, apostrophe I tell him. My jump did save it. It wouldn't have done to let him get away in the dark like that, and have the beauty dodging around in the bushes, perhaps, with the rusty flintlock gun they had. The governor owned up that the jump was the correct thing. But he isn't dead, apostrophe says he, bending over him. Might as well hope to strangle an ox. We made haste to tie his elbows back, and then, before he came to himself, we dragged him to a small tree, sat him up, and bound him to it, not by the waist, but by the neck, some 20 turns of small line round his throat and the trunk, finished off with a reef knot under his ear. Next thing we did was to attend to the Honorable Antonio, who was making a great smell frizzling his face on the red coals. We pushed and rolled him into the creek, and left the rest to the alligators. I was tired. That little scrap took it out of me something awful. The governor hadn't turned a hair. That's where a gentleman has the pull of you. He don't get excited. No gentleman does or hardly ever. I fell asleep all of a sudden, and left him smoking by the fire I had made up, his railway rug round his legs, as calm as if he were sitting in a first-class carriage. We hardly spoke 10 words to each other after it was over, and from that day to this, we have never talked of the business. I wouldn't have known he remembered it, if he hadn't alluded to it, when talking with you the other day, you know, with regard to Pedro. It surprised you, didn't it? That's why I am giving you this yarn, of how he came to be with us, like a sort of dog-dashed sight more useful, though. You know how he can trot around with trays? Well, he could bring down an ox with his fist, at a word from the boss, just as cleverly. And fond of the governor. Oh, my word. More than any dog is of any man. Schomburg squared his chest. Oh, and that's one of the things I wanted to mention to Mr. Jones, he said. "'Tis unpleasant to have that fellow round the house so early. He sits on the stairs at the back for hours before he is needed here, and frightens people so that the service suffers." The Chinaman, Ricardo, nodded and raised his hand. "When I first saw him, he was fit to frighten a grizzly bear, let alone a Chinaman. He's become civilized now to what he once was. Well, that morning, first thing on opening my eyes, I saw him sitting there, tied up by the neck to the tree. He was blinking. We spent the day watching the sea, and we actually made out the schooner working to windward, which showed that he had given us up. Good. When the sun rose again, I took a squint at our Pedro. He wasn't blinking. He was rolling his eyes, all white one minute and black the next, and his tongue was hanging out a yard. Being tied up short by the neck like this would daunt the archdevil himself in time, mind. I don't know, but that even a real gentleman would find it difficult to keep a stiff lip to the end. Presently we went to work getting our boat ready. I was busying myself setting up the mast, when the governor passes the remark. I think he wants to say something. ... I had heard a sort of croaking going on for some time, only I wouldn't take any notice. But then I got out of the boat, and went up to him, with some water. His eyes were red, and black and half out of his head. He drank all the water I gave him, but he hadn't much to say for himself. I walked back to the governor. He asks for a bullet in his head before we go, ... I said. I wasn't at all pleased. Oh, that's out of the question altogether, ... says the governor. He was right there. Only 4 shots left, and 90 miles of wild coast to put behind us, before coming to the first place, where you could expect to buy revolver cartridges. Anyhow, ... I tells him, he wants to be killed some way or other, as a favor. ... and then I go on setting up the boat's mast. I didn't care much for the notion of butchering a man bound hand and foot, and fastened by the neck besides. I had a knife then, the Honorable Antonio's knife, and that knife is this knife. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.